Blog Talk Radio.
Fighting cases and things like that. But for the most part, it was kind of reinforcing and redeeming because y'all didn't have to worry about the same type of money problems that other people had to worry about. You may have been a street family, but you may not have even been on the streets like that anymore. I've known crime families that have moved out into the burbs or whatever. And, you know, they went back into the city to do their thing because that's where their roots were, but they were able to actually make it out of there. Now, how long they stayed out of there and the time that they had when they got out of there, that's a whole different story. But nonetheless, when the babies are born into that type of life, how easy is it to get out of that type of life? Do you even want to get out? And do you cultivate a life of crime just like the one that you were born into? Are all your friends criminals? Do you show them how to do crimes? Do they show you how to do crimes? Are y'all kindred spirits? Are y'all kindred spirits? That's what we're talking about tonight on this Flashback Friday. Thank God it's Friday on the Daily Go Get 'Emism show. Coming from a crime family, a family of crime. What y'all know? Who do y'all know? Who fits this bill? You know, I have information. Yeah, I've definitely seen this scenario. And one thing we have to talk about when we talk about coming from a crime family is violence. Violence. Learning how to take care of your problems and your adversity and your frustration with violence. Because that's what you're talking about when you talk about growing up or coming up or being born into a crime family. You know, when you are born into the streets, you learn how to handle your problems like the streets do. And we all know that in the streets, on the streets, they handle their problems with violence. They solve their problems with violence. Their means to peace comes through violence. You make sure that you respect this space around us. This is our territory. We run this. So when you come from that type of environment, when you come from those teachings, when you come from that upbringing, when you come from that rearing, that coaching, that teaching, and you see, well, if it had failed 90% of the time, then I probably wouldn't be attracted to it as much. But since I've seen it work so many times, I guess the way to keep somebody off your back and to keep them from teasing you and to keep them from putting you in an uncomfortable situation is to let them know that I will knock you out, put you on your ass, terrorize you and your peoples if you mess with us and ours. Not only that, but you may see the respect that your peers give you because they already know what it's hitting for should they disrespect you or should they get out of line. Should they treat you like one of the pack, there could be consequences for that. Violent consequences. Far-reaching consequences. So what you think? What you think? All right. So this is what we're talking about tonight on the Daily Go Get-A-Mism Show. Coming from a crime family. You want something? Somebody else has it, you find a way to get it from them. Or if you don't want to steal from them, you say, well, we ain't got to steal. You know, we make a couple of deals and we're able to get not only what we saw you with, but something way better than that. You see somebody with some new sneakers, boots, jeans, jackets, cars, whatever. None of that stuff is out of bounds for you. As a matter of fact, it's well within your reach. Well within your reach because you have been born into that space. And, you know, it's a lot harder to have contempt for the way that your family conducts its business when you see, like, well, but we have everything. Look, we got Cadillacs outside, Benzes, Beamers, high-end vehicles. We live in a nice house. Even if we live around the way, look at the rest of the houses on the block. Now look at our house. We got it like that. We don't have to move into a new place in the middle of the night, hiding our stuff from nobody. We dare somebody to break in our house. It'll be a problem. We'll find out who did it, and then whoever did it will be done in. So you see, like there is a respect factor. People give you your way because they know you come from a crime family. Like I said, we ain't talking about the mob, but we can be talking about the mob. I'm talking about regular people who come from a family that employs crime, that employs crime into their daily living. Cheating, lying, hustling, maybe prostitution too, but not necessarily having to do that because shoot, I ain't got to sell no ass. Sell ass for what? Shoot. We sell things. We can sell other things besides ass. Ass is relatively cheap compared to the money we getting. We saw a lot of this going on in the 80s. When the crack era let us see a whole lot of coming up. It may have been short-lived, but we saw the possibilities. You know, so, you know, people who were already, you know, selling drugs on the street, you know, the heroin and the crank and you know, the pills and the coke, powder cocaine, they were already primed and ready for the crack era. So, because they were already into that kind of life, it was a smooth transition from the powder to the soft to the hard. You know, soft is powder cocaine. The hard is the crack cocaine. It's interesting to see how nowadays crack isn't as popular as it was in the 80s and 90s. Because in the 80s and the 90s, that was the thing. That was how street dudes got rich. But there were a bunch of families that were incarcerated behind that. And speaking of being incarcerated, that's something that you have to deal with when you start talking about being born into a crime family. 9 times out of 10, you're going to make visits and get calls from the penitentiary. That's going to be a regular thing for you. That's going to be something that you're very used to. You know, it might not be something that you appreciate, but it might, and it might be like a thorn in your side, but it won't come as such a surprise to you like it will other people, because you have been born into this. You already know what time it is. You know what time it is. So you don't make a whole lot of bones about how this is going to affect you. So you've been talking about free my daddy, free my uncle, free my brother, free. But how that crosses over into other areas of your life is what we have to concern ourselves with. If you were born into a crime family, they probably didn't concern themselves necessarily with finishing high school. But you might be good in school. Maybe you want to finish high school. I've known people who have done it. They still grew up in a crime family, but they graduated high school. Some of them even, you know, went to college. They may not have finished college. I don't know too many of them who actually finished college. Just keeping it a buck. Not saying that it can't happen, but I don't know a lot of them who did. But I do know some who did. Yeah, I know. You know, sometimes when we're doing these shows, man, it makes me remember things that I hadn't thought about in a while or hadn't remembered. It makes me remember some things. So, yeah, I definitely know a couple of college graduates who grew up in a semi-crime family. We probably have to determine whether to be considered to be growing up in a crime family, do all of the family have to be involved in crime or just some of the people? Can one big criminal taint the whole family? Let's get it popping. Urban Therapy with Sun 752. With this your daily go get a business show. We do this every single day. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. We break it down, baby. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. Every day it rains and the DG will do the same. Every day it rains and the DG will do the same. Every day it rains and the DG will do the same. I'm your host, Sun 752, aka Omar with the rrr. And if you can't say Omar with the rrr, well then you just say Omar with the R. This is the Daily Go Getemism Show. All up in your area. I'm feeling like a real man should, and I hope y'all feeling like real men and women should also. Tonight on the Daily Go Getemism Show, we are talking about coming from a crime family. What y'all know about coming from a crime family? How many crime families do y'all know? Do you come from one? Are you close to one? Have you missed being in one by one criminal? You know, what's going on, my people? Stacy White, thanks for coming on through. And Carol Chamberlain, thanks for coming through too. And Saboy, Build and Destroy. What's going on, Saboy? What up, y'all? Okay. Carol says, I only knew of a few families like that, but they weren't that tough. Okay. You know, says, yep, it goes with the territory. Yeah, talking about violence probably, right? And she also says, you don't really hear about it now like you did then. I don't anyway. Talking about crack. Yeah, it doesn't sell the way that it used to. And you know what's crazy about it is that the people who are still using crack are pretty much the people who were using crack all the way back then in the 80s and 90s. You know, crack is an older person's drug. See, you know, a bunch of young people messing around with crack. They know better than that. Now, they still OD off all kinds of other crazy stuff, the new drugs, but there probably will never be an era like the crack era. Even with the heroin that we see now, you know, with all them zombies running around and heroin-infested areas, it'll never be, we'll never see, I don't know. I'm not going to say never. But I'm not sure if we'll ever see an era like the crack era, because it was a prosperous era for a lot of people. We don't see people getting rich off of this heroin thing. That's what's missing for me. Now, if y'all know something different, let me know, please. But that's what I don't see with this heroin era. I don't see the trappings of the success. I don't even know what heroin dealers look like. I don't. Maybe y'all do. I don't know anybody that sells horse. I don't. I don't know any heroin dealers. I don't. I've always known people who sold pills, but not on this level. You know, yeah. But in the crack era, I knew drug dealers, plenty of them. I knew drug addicts, plenty of them. I knew plenty of crackheads. I knew them. They were in our families. It was hard to have a family that wasn't affected by crack in some kind of way. Somewhere along the line, you had a mom or a dad or aunt or uncle or cousin or brother or sister or aunt, uncle, whatever. You know, somebody in the family was on that. And, you know, the family had to deal with that. Now, we're talking about coming from a crime family tonight. Coming from a crime family. What are we talking about? We're talking about when the kids grow into a family where the families do not have 9-to-5 jobs and they do not own their own private businesses, legal businesses. That's not what they do. They hustle for a living. They hustle illegally for a living. They sell drugs. They pimp. They involve themselves in criminal activity. They may be professional thieves, that kind of thing. Shoot. Shout out to all of the people who used to run numbers. That was the funny thing about people who ran numbers. The number runners, either they were retired from jobs that they had worked all their lives, or they worked. They didn't run numbers full time. At least that's the way it looked. Now, I'm sure I'm probably not right about that whole thing. But the number runners normally had something else going on besides running numbers. You know, I mean, and whether you had a aunt or an uncle or grandparents who ran numbers, they had other things going on. They might have ran numbers. They also ran a speakeasy, selling, you know, setting up a bar at their house. Basically, that's what a speakeasy was. At the speakeasy, you know. They was cooking. They would cook and serve drinks. You sit around, drink, chill, eat. The good thing about a speakeasy, you could take a little nap. You know, they had chairs in there and a couch. You go in there, get twisted, you know, nod off for a little while. Wake up, eat a little bit more. You know, people, they called it a speakeasy because they took care of each other. It was at somebody's house. It wasn't at a spot. It was at somebody's, this was somebody's home. So you had to respect the home. It was a little private spot. But that is a form of growing up in a crime family. An interesting thing about a speakeasy was that there were good people who came through at the speakeasy and bad people. So you were gonna see real street people that came through in the speakeasy and just regular working 9-to-5 blue collar folks. Speakeasy. So there was a variety of people that you were exposed to. But at the same time, this was not a legal business. So your little ass running around playing with toys, hiding under the tables, you know, getting on grown-ups' nerves, being mischievous and all that kind of stuff. But you grew up watching all of this. You may not have even realized that you grew up in a crime family, but you did. That's exactly what happened. Hopefully it never got violent. Hopefully nobody shot up your place. Hopefully nobody came into your place and got violent, shot your grandfather or slapped your grandmother or your grandmother had to stab up somebody or shoot somebody. Hopefully your home never got raided. Nothing says that you grew up in a crime family stronger than your house getting raided. The feds coming in your house searching. The cops doing a vice special ops type of operation up in your house. It's real. But see, while you're a child, you growing up around this, and you see it's working. One thing that your number running grandmother or grandfather, one thing about them was they was never broke. They drove a big car. It didn't matter whether it was a Ford LTD. It didn't matter whether it was a Lincoln, a Cadillac, or something. They wasn't pushing no little here to there. They wasn't no hoopty. It wasn't no little squatter. They had a nice car. They just wasn't all big and flashy about it. But I bet you one thing, it was a bunch of toys, a bunch of presents under that Christmas tree every year. I bet you another thing, you ain't have to worry about what your back to school clothes is going to look like every year. Y'all wasn't broke. And that's part of the problem. You saw it working. You didn't see it failing. Y'all had money. When you wanted to go to the store for some candy, you got it. When you watched TV and you wanted a baby Bataway or G.I. Joe or a racetrack, or, you know, what, you got those things. You were guaranteed to get them. You were spoiled growing up in that life. The thing is, there was a price to pay. Sometimes you saw your family members not be around for a while. Had to do a little bid. Had to go upstate for a little while. Maybe just had to do a little county time. They got caught with a little something-something, doing a little something-something. You know? Collect calls. Collect calls home from the penitentiary. Carol says, I don't know what about the fentanyl. you almost spelled it right. You gotta take out the O. Yeah, you had it right except for the O. It's like fentanyl. Fentanyl. But yeah, I don't know nobody who sells that stuff. I don't. Now I'm thinking with all them zombies that I see over in the Kensington section of Philadelphia, somebody ought to be getting rich. But I don't see nobody. I don't know how they get money. I don't know who's getting money. Who's selling out here? Because nobody looks like the seller. I don't know if it is it me or, like, I don't be seeing the transactions, y'all. I've been around there. One thing about crack is you would see the transactions. You see them. Even with weed, you see the transactions. You see money pass and product pass from one hand to another with them heroin cats. I don't see nobody. I see everybody high. I never see nobody getting high. I don't see them shooting up. All I see is the results. And I'm thinking, like, it must just be me. Maybe I'm just away from this life. Thank you, T. Carey Wright. I appreciate it. Thank you for the super sticker. Thank you for the super sticker. What is that? That's dope. Appreciate that. Appreciate it mucho. But yeah, I don't see the drug dealers. But you can best believe somebody is selling and they're getting paid. They're getting paid. And it's bad. But even with all of those zombies running around, it wasn't nothing like the crack era. Because it just seemed like it was so many. It was... That's the difference between crackheads and dope fiends. Dope fiends don't look like they doing nothing. Crackheads had things to do. They was either selling their bodies or cutting grass or, you know, washing cars. They did things to get the money. These heroin addicts, they act like they already got paid. Like, I'm high enough. I don't got to do nothing. Is it just me? Is it me, y'all? I don't know, man. Let me see. Carol says, the few I knew are now invalid. Let's see. Carol says, believe it or not, I tried it for a minute. LOL, not for me. Nope. Wow. You don't even drink. Yeah. Carol Shingley says, and they always cried broke. At least the people, at least my people did. Yeah. She also says they go to Kensington and live in the burbs. Yeah. Talking about the drug. I just don't see them on the streets. You know what I mean? Like, we knew who the drug dealers were on the streets during the crack era because they was getting that. They was out there all clean and getting their shine on. So it's like they looked like they was doing something illegal. And they looked like it was working. Route 309 is a real drug corridor from the burbs to the inner city. Well. Oh, they going that way. That part, okay. They headed out there to Quakertown. Dang, let me find out. They going all the way out there to Horsham. Unalived. Well, what kind of word is that? The numbers game. Okay, you talking about the numbers. Oh, you tried running numbers for a while? Okay. Yeah, I don't know. You know, when we talk about growing up in, or coming from a crime family, you know, like I said, you're going to see criminal activity going on. At a time before you even know that it's a crime to do certain things. But one thing about it is when you start going to school, your people are going to tell you what to talk about when you go to school and what not to talk about. You're not going to talk about what mommy and daddy do for a living. You're not going to talk about how you get certain things. You're not going to talk about where your folks work. You ain't going to talk about all that kind of stuff. And at a young age, you might be wondering, how come I can't, you know, well, it is what it is. You'll start catching on after a while. And like I said, the violence. You can't have crime without violence. You're going to have violence. So somewhere along the line, you're going to see that on the streets. Coming from a crime family, You handle your problems. You handle your adversity. You handle your challenges with violence, either threats of violence or real violence. Well, this is how we take care of somebody who decides that they want to stick their nose in our business. Or this is how we handle somebody who encroaches on our property. This is how we deal with people who don't show respect. This is what we do to people who steal money from us. You know. So coming from a crime family, you start seeing like, oh, okay. I always wondered how come none of my friends tried to bully me. Well, I see why. They knew what would happen to them if they bullied me. Funny thing is, you may not have become a bully yourself. Some people who come from crime families do become bullies. Some do. Plenty do. The question really becomes, do you have respect for the crime that your family is involved in? Do you want to be in that life yourself? That's the real question. Do you want to be in that criminal life the way that your peoples are? Do you want to sell drugs for a living? Do you want to be out there in them streets making deals for a living? Do you want to be ducking the cops or having to pay off the cops? Do you want to have to be going back and forth to court? Do you want to potentially, you know, be doing time? Those are the questions that you have to ask yourself, because that's the real life that you may be involved with. Is that what it's hitting for? Are the trappings of the success? And I have to say it again. That's the big thing about growing up in a crime family, the success of it. If you see that everybody is failing from it, if you see that everybody is getting killed and everybody is going to jail and everybody is getting robbed and it's just a bunch of chaos and sadness and confusion, you probably won't want to stay in that life the way that you were born into it. But it's a little harder to get out when to your left, that's what they're doing, and to your right, that's what they're doing. And in back of you, that's what they're doing. And in front of you, and on top of you, and below you, and all around you. The four corners and the 360-degree angle. That's what everybody seems to be doing. And it's working. So what makes you want to finish high school? What makes you want to get your homework done? Ain't nobody checking it. And that's not to say that just because you come from a criminal background that you didn't have parents who were attentive or concerned about your education. I'm not saying that, but this ain't an episode of Power. This is not a series on the Stars Network. This ain't The Wire. This ain't none of that. So yeah, on those TV shows, you know, they have an obligation to make street people look like more than just street people. But you know, on the streets, street people are street people. They want a better life, but that's not what they normally foster. That's not what they normally promote. That's not normally what they concern themselves with. They'll throw money at it. Yeah, my baby got to go to college. I'll pay for the whole college run. They'll throw money at it, but they ain't got the time to do it. The streets don't permit you to have a lot of time for education or upward mobility. It ain't about all that. You know, on TV shows, they got time for all of that. The Sopranos, The Wire, Power, Empire, all of whatever. Yeah, they got time for that because they have to write it into the script, because people will start going crazy if you portray certain people to be nothing but criminals. But in real life, yeah, well, that's who they are. Way ratchet, straight ghetto, but getting money. And you know, You know, all of y'all have dealt with somebody that was ghetto fabulous. And you can't tell a ghetto fabulous person nothing. Because the first thing they're going to point to when you start trying to diss them is the fact that they got money and you don't. That's their ace in the hole. I know you ain't talking about me. Look at that. You know what I mean? With your little plated. That ain't no real Polo. That ain't no real Gucci. That ain't no real blah, 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 blah. You got that little bag. Look at me. I got a big duffel bag. Look, I got a big Louis duffel bag. You'll never have a big Louis duffel bag. You know why? Because you ain't got big Louis duffel bag money. You ain't got that kind of money. And you ain't never going to have that money. You ain't never had that kind of money. I do. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know you. You know what? I know you don't have a lot of time to argue with me right now because you got to go to school tomorrow. Oh, you got to go to work tomorrow. I don't. But I know tomorrow I'll make enough money. I'll make more money tomorrow than you will in the whole month. Ha ha. But those are the things that you see. You know, when you observe a crime family. And when you grow up in a criminal enterprise, coming from a crime family, these are the things that you're going to see. You're going to have these looks. TK Wright says, find out that we have strung out Amish Mickey Fickies. Instead of dead, unlived, unalived. Okay, I got you now. I wasn't getting it. I ain't going front. TK Wright says, yes, Carol. We use that with transition in order to maintain community standards, blah, blah, blah. Okay. You know, okay. Okay. Carol says, I find that most don't want to, but that's not always the case. That's true. Some people really don't want to be in that life. I've known people, you know, they tried to. I've known people who didn't follow that life. But here's the other thing. Well, hold on, let me read the last thing. Amazing that when they get money, that's what they want first. No savings, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Stop with that. Well, what I was going to say was, even when people who grow up in a crime family, even when they decide to take another route, that way of life and that thinking is ingrained in them because they've been taught that way of thinking from the time they were children. So even when they get involved in legitimate businesses and have legitimate friendships and partnerships and things like that, they're always going to be different than their peers because they know a different way of how to make things happen. So although they may take a legitimate route, they know a better way to make it happen if it doesn't succeed. So the way that I'm friends with somebody who came from a criminal background is different than the way that I'm friends with somebody who grew up in a regular household like I did. Because this person over here that comes from this crime family will employ certain tactics and they think differently, still think like a criminal, even though they're fighting their way out of that type of thinking. But they've seen it work too much. Okay, they're not the criminal. They've decided I'm not doing crime. But their connection to that life and that world prevent them from having the type of connection with me that me and this person that came from a regular nuclear family like I did have. It's different. This person over here has learned to eliminate the competition. This person over here looks at competition like, okay, we can just work with the competition. That's not how this person learned. So although they're trying to go legit, in the back of their mind, they like, I don't have to share my territory with nobody else. I can make a phone call. And make sure that my legitimate business is the only legitimate business on the block, in the hood, around the way. It's different. It's different. You can fight your future, but it's hard to fight your past. It's hard. Somewhere along the line, you're going to employ the strategies that you've been taught to work when things start getting tough. When the going gets rough, you're going to rely on your training. And your training was, your money run low, you go sell something. We can get you a pack. We can make this thing right in a quick second. You ain't got to struggle. Over here, they'll struggle until they learn better, get better, do better. Over here, nah, we ain't got to struggle for nothing. We're going to make a move, a quick one. We're going to hit a lick over here. I come from, you know, we hit licks over here. That's what I come from. Y'all can do it. Y'all can go ahead and struggle for years over there. Over here, we're going to hit a lick. We're going to hit a lick, get back right. Carol says they have to attempt to unlearn that behavior. Yeah, and probably the only way that they will unlearn that behavior is that they first have to unrespect. They have to unrespect and unlike that behavior. It's hard to unlearn something that you have love and respect for, you know. Not only that, but you have to be under the influence of somebody who you think has a better way and who can reinforce that better way into your psyche, you know. You know, it really is tough because it's like, yeah, I know it ain't right, you know, the way my family has made money, but, you know, that's my family, though. And they've always had my back, and they've always loved me, and they've always taken care of me. So, you know, if they ask me to do something for them, I'm doing it. If they need my help with something, I'm helping them. It's not hard to understand. That ain't hard. That ain't hard at all. But that's something we got to deal with. That's something we got to deal with. My parents sold drugs. Some of them sold ass. Some of them, you know, went out to the burbs and did cat burglaries. You know, ran chop shops, stole cars and, you know what I mean, resold them. Did whatever they had to do. But they kept that money coming in, and they weren't stingy. They shared. And when one of us got caught, we paid bail. We paid for lawyers. You know, we did our time, came home, and took care of each other, got each other back on their feet. That's what we did. That's who we are. All of the men in the family were, you know, kind of taught to be, you know, hustlers and thugs. You were either out there earning money, or you was protecting the people that was earning. That's what the men in my family did. The women in my family, you know, they didn't really have to worry about a lot. They were pretty much taken care of, but we taught them how to get money too. You know, they helped out. You know, we sold the crack, they cooked up the crack. Simple as that. Somebody got to cook it. Get the baking soda. Baking soda in the boiling water. Then get that scale. It's time to make the dinner. So, you know, coming from a crime family, it makes you a different type of person. Your mentality is different. Your survival, the survival techniques are different. You ain't like the rest of the rest of them. You ain't like them, and they're not like you. Different. Very different. Coming from a crime family. Some of y'all know people, grew up with people, were good friends with people who came from a crime family. You know, it might have been very intriguing to you. Like, yo, such and such is real nice, but man, they peoples ain't no joke. They peoples ain't no joke. You mess with them, they will get rid of you. So there are pitfalls and there are perks. And when the perks override the pitfalls, you're going to be more inclined to get involved. Because you see that the perks are working. Or the work is bringing perks. Perks, P-E-R-C. It's really P-E-R-K, but you know, perks, Percocet. You know what I'm talking about. My Philly people should know. They should know what I'm talking about. But yeah, this is serious business. Serious business. Coming from a crime family. Yeah. When all you have been taught is all you know, then you're going to rock with that. You're going to rock with it, and that's the way it's going to be. That's the life that you know. That's the life that you've led. That's those are the things that you've seen. It ain't nothing but a Sunday through Saturday for you. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, love. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, love. So it can be more confusing when you don't fully come from a crime family, but it's like half and half. Like maybe on your mom's side, they get busy like that on the crime side. But on your dad's side, that's more of the working class side. It just so happens that you closer with your mom's side than with your dad's side. Who do you live with? Your mom. Who do you visit sometimes? Your dad. And don't let your grandmother on your dad's side pass away. Because a lot of times, that's it. It's a wrap. You know, granny, yo, man, Big Mama hold it down. You know what I'm saying? Big Mama hold it down. Because when your mom and your dad not together, and your dad was in your life, but maybe he wasn't all the way in. He wasn't all the way in. It could be the case where, like, when you went to go see your dad's side of the family, you didn't stay with your dad. You stayed with his mother. Dad was doing whatever he was doing, but that was your connection. You went over to your grandmother's house, spent the night, you know, kicked it with your cousins, all that kind of stuff. It wasn't like on your mom's side. On your mom's side, everybody was close. Everybody was connected. But your mom come from a bunch of dope dealers, a bunch of drug addicts, a bunch of hoes, a bunch of thieves, a bunch of, you know, liars and hustlers, all that old stuff. Your mom come from that. Funny thing is, your mom had a job. Your mom, Jackie. You know your mom, Jackie. Everybody know Jackie. Jackie, your mom. Oh yeah, that's Jackie. Some Jackie's daughter. That's Jackie's son. Yeah, Jackie went to work every day. But we all know where Jackie come from. You mess around with Jackie if you want. Even Jackie boyfriends know what time it was. Jackie boyfriends made sure they always kept their hands to themselves. Because Jackie family, her brothers and stuff will put a hit out on her boyfriend if he starts to get Twitter fingers. Or if he starts to become impatient. Or too frustrated. Jackie might work for the local TV station or something like that. You know, she a secretary somewhere. Yeah, so Jackie tried to raise her kids in a good life, but everybody in Jackie's family, they get their hustle on. Shout out to Jackie. So, yeah. You ain't a criminal. But you're criminally connected. You're right. That's right, Carol. Jackie might work for a judge. She just might. She might work for the state representative. Yeah, listen. I knew a family. I used to be wondering. This was one of the weirdest things. I knew this family, and they was all criminals, I swear. And it was one of those crazy things where you couldn't. Have y'all ever known a family where you couldn't tell which side of the family was which? Like, it was almost like, wait a minute. Who is there, a mom side and a dad side family, or are they all blended? I don't know if y'all have ever known a family like that. You're like, are there two families here? Or are they cousins? Like, what's going on? Well, anyway, I knew this family like that. And I used to be wondering why one of the biggest criminals in the family never went upstate. He got locked up so many times. But he never went upstate. County time after county time after county time. Never went upstate. Everybody used to be like, well, it was rumored that they family had political ties. I'm like, they family? Which side? Both sides? I couldn't tell which side was which anyway. But he never went upstate. He used to be gone all the time. But only as far as state road. Straight county time. Never went upstate. How? You ain't going to tell me none of those convictions were felonies. Never went upstate. Everybody else went upstate, not him. So when you don't get state time, either you snitching or you got pulled. And they said that he had pulled. They said that they had pulled. Maybe Jackie worked in the state for the state legislator. I don't know. Jackie got connections. I mean, real trap. Oh man, we got to get on up out of here. I'm sorry, peoples. Let's get on up out of here. Let's do these birthday shout-outs. We have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious. October 14th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special because they are special because they are special because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box, Stephanie Lee. Turning 33 years old today. And Jamie Crowley, happy birthday to you. And also Jolie DeGen, happy birthday to you. And Kels Consuela, turning 46 years old today. And Reg Noble, happy birthday to you. And Dana Woods Hill, turning 41 years old today. And Denise Cobb Watson, happy birthday to you. And Dorothy Malone, turning 46 years. I'm sorry, 64 years old today. And Sandra Yvette, happy birthday to you. And Ticey Cooper, happy birthday to you, Ticey. And my girl going all the way back to the 1991, my girl Robin Cooper. No relation to Ticey that I know of, but you never know. Happy birthday to you. I want to say happy birthday to all of y'all and anyone else out there who shares this birthday on this glorious, glorious, glorious October 14th. I hope that today finds you all in good health, happiness, mind, body, soul, and spirit. All of y'all go ahead and turn up. Turn up, but don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. A rock out, rock on it, do the damn, the rock out, rock on it, do the damn, rock out, rock on it, do the damn thing, you do your thing. Y'all represent the queens and kings, you do your thing, y'all represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind, and anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, man, listen, growing up in a crime family, coming from a crime family, being ingrained into a crime family, being raised, reared, coached, and steered into a crime family, it ain't the way you start, it's the way that you end. But you know, when you have been shown that a criminal life is, it can be a way of life, and you can actually make it from the cradle to the grave, an early cradle and a late grave by working it out a little bit on the streets, you're probably going to be attracted to that, or at least revert to that when the legal way doesn't work all the time. The violence is the part about it that can be the most detrimental, the most concerning, the most the part about it that may be the greatest cause for concern. We all have choices that we can make in our lives, but when certain choices have been made for us even before we have ever had a chance to make our own decisions, it's a little bit different, and it can make life a little bit more difficult, and it can shape the way that we think about things, feel about things, and do things in a way that may not be conducive for our freedom on the streets. Death and jail come along with criminal activity. So what do you do? How do you handle it when it's right there all around you? It's right there in your playpen, right there in your toy box, right there in your cubbyhole. What do you do? Well, some escape. You know, there are a lot of different angles we could have took during this show, but I don't want to go into blaming anybody, you know, specifically or anything like that, you know. I'm sure all of y'all know certain people who this show applies to, and y'all have your own personal feelings about that, and I have nothing but respect for that. We will be back for another Daily Go. Well, actually, we'll be here for the Urban Therapy with Sun Show tomorrow, 1 p.m., so make sure y'all come through because it's going to be a movie. We got good stuff coming for y'all. 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time tomorrow for the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. Love y'all right back to life. You don't know? Yeah. All right. So what we going to do? What we going to do? I got a pocket full of money. Okay. Wait a minute. All right. Get on up out of here. And for my YouTubers, you know just how we do, but thanks for coming on through. See you on the other side, my boobers. Peace.